Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the ongoing Altus Group podcast series, where we cover a wide range of strategies for minimizing your sales and use tax exposure throughout various regions in the U.S. Today, we're speaking with TJ Chitekwe, a senior consultant at Altus Group, about key happenings in the state of Florida. And TJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Thanks, TJ. If you don't mind, give us some background on your experience in handling audits, specifically in the state of Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with Altus Group's transaction tax team for a little bit over 3 years now. And in transaction tax, we really specialize in sales and use tax in a number of ways, one of those being assisting clients with sales and use tax audits in various states. Now, we've gotten involved in these audits at different points of the process. We'll be handling the bulk of the legwork from start to finish. We'll assist with the development of any sampling approaches that might be proposed by an auditor. And even if an assessment's already been issued for an audit, we can still get involved towards the end of that process and see if we can find ways to get that assessment reduced. Now, my role has been involved with any combination of analyzing data provided to us by clients to determine if it's sufficient in meeting an auditor's request, managing deadlines, and serving as a main point of contact for the client and the auditor. I've helped a few clients just within this past year with Florida sales and use tax audits. We actually just wrapped one up a few days ago, actually. These audits can usually be straightforward if the client's been maintaining the proper documentation. But in general, based on some audits that we've seen in various jurisdictions throughout the country, Florida auditors request much more types of documentation than as compared to auditors in other states. And part of the reason for this is because of the wide range of items that that are included in Florida's sales tax base, which we'll get into a little further in this podcast.
Can you explain how the typical process of a Florida audit works?
Yeah, sure. So in a Florida audit, taxpayers usually receive an audit notice from the state. And that audit notice will be included in a package that outlines the initial scope of records that auditors are going to request from the taxpayer. And there's going to be some preliminary questionnaires that the taxpayers are going to have to complete about their business operations in general. And once all that's taken care of, the auditors are going to look to schedule an initial conference to discuss the scope of the audit, including whether an on-site visit to the taxpayer's location is necessary or if the entire audit can be conducted remotely. And this conference can be held directly with the taxpayer, or if they have a consultant helping them with the audit, the consultant, in this case it would be us, we'll handle the conference and relay the information back to the auditor. Once the initial prep is completed, the auditor will proceed in conducting their field work by requesting and reviewing various forms of data, such as sales data, expenses, listings of any fixed assets that are located in Florida. And they're also going to request a review of any lease agreements related to leases of real property that the taxpayer may have in Florida. Once the field work is completed, the auditors are going to issue what's called a DR 1215, and it's a notice of intent to make audit changes. And this summarizes what the assessment is going to look like as of that date. However, this is not the formal assessment. Many taxpayers confuse this with being the final assessment notice. This is kind of serving as a preliminary estimate of what the assessment is going to look like. And taxpayers usually have 30 days after this is issued to provide more responses to resolve any discrepancies that are still present at this time. Once that window is closed, the formal assessment notice will be issued, and then taxpayers can either pay the assessment or proceed with an appeal. That's usually how the process works.
What are the most common issues you encounter in Florida audits?
Yeah, so specifically in Florida, we encounter a variety of issues. The one that we see most consistently, and this usually affects out-of-state companies that are not headquartered in the state in Florida, but they might be doing business in Florida. And this issue really relates to the leases of commercial real property. Now, Florida is one of the only states that actually taxes these types of leases. In most states, sales tax is assessed on tangible personal property, which is basically anything you can see, touch, or feel, like a computer or something like that. But they usually don't assess sales tax on leases of real property, such as buildings and other types of real estate. Florida is one of the very few exceptions where they actually do tax these types of leases as commercial property. And under an audit, an auditor is going to want to see the lease agreement that was issued for the lease of the property. They're going to want to see a monthly lease invoice from the landlord, and they're also going to want to see general ledger backup to see if the lease payments and the sales tax associated with those payments are being booked properly. And in the lease agreements, they're going to want to see if sales tax is referenced in there. They're also going to want to see if it's being separately stated on an invoice. They want to make sure that you are, in fact, paying the sales tax. Florida auditors are usually very strict with this type of documentation, and it really becomes an issue for a lot of our clients because when you're leasing a building, you're not necessarily thinking about paying sales tax on the lease payments. That's usually an afterthought. And in most states, you're not even paying sales tax. So when it happens in Florida, a lot of our clients that we've seen can kind of get thrown off by the documentation. We've been able to come up with resolutions for those clients and get those issues resolved. In general, it kind of throws people off sometimes because they're not thinking about sales tax when they're executing these agreements. So gathering that documentation and relaying all the information and providing all the necessary backup to the auditors can be an issue. Another issue we see is that Florida has various exemptions that many taxpayers can qualify for, but they may not necessarily be taking full advantage of them. And some of these exemptions include purchases of or leases of machinery and equipment used in manufacturing, purchases of overhead materials used by defense contractors in performing federal government contracts, and software delivered or accessed electronically. A lot of taxpayers could be paying sales tax on these items and not necessarily being fully aware of the fact that there's an exemption for these types of purchases. Now, each of these exemptions have their own specific requirements that need to be met, then a lot of taxpayers aren't necessarily taking full advantage of those. And it's really useful to bring these up under an audit because it can help to offset any potential audit assessment, and it could even lead to a refund opportunity. So while there are taxpayers that are aware of these, they may be aware of these exemptions, they may not necessarily be taking the full advantage of them. So that's another issue that we always come across.
What are some of the misconceptions taxpayers have about Florida sales and use tax audit?
Now, the main misconception that we come across, and this can almost apply to any state, but we see it a lot in Florida because of the fact that Florida taxes so many different things in terms of sales tax. But generally, we come across a lot of taxpayers who believe that they know exactly what they're doing when it comes to a sales tax audit, even if they don't have a sales tax expert on hand. One thing that's really important to understand is that there's many nuances of an audit that are usually overlooked that taxpayers need to fully understand because they can have a significant impact on the overall audit results. For instance, many taxpayers, they never question an auditor's sample of invoices selected for review, whether that be sales invoices or expense invoices. But a lot of taxpayers may not be aware that the method used by the auditor to select that sample of invoices will have a direct impact on the audit assessment if errors are found. And having somebody who specializes in sales tax and has seen all different types of samples and has worked with auditors to negotiate with these samples before anything's agreed upon in writing, having that up front before going on with the audit can really save taxpayers a major headache when an audit assessment is issued. Another misconception that we always see, is, especially in Florida, is the thought that an auditor is going to tell a taxpayer about available exemptions. In general, most auditors have one thing in mind, and that's determining whether you're in compliance with the state sales and use tax laws. And if you're not, they're going to assess you tax penalties and interest accordingly. Exemptions are written into law by state legislators because of their legislative grace. They're not required to offer taxpayers any exemptions. So when claiming an exemption, the burden of proof to prove that you are entitled to that exemption is going to be on the taxpayer to prove that. And they shouldn't expect an auditor to help them with that process because they're trying to go out and see if everyone is in compliance with the sales tax law. And if not, they're going to assess you tax and bring in more tax dollars for the state. Another misconception that we've come across is thinking that a vendor that's located in Florida knows exactly the products and services that they should and shouldn't be charging tax on. Florida sales tax law can be very complex and confusing, especially in certain industries such as construction, depending on the type of construction being performed. And that can be complex regardless of whether or not the vendor is located in Florida. And where this usually becomes an issue is an out-of-state taxpayer who has operations in Florida may not accrue use tax on a purchase from a purchase made by a vendor in Florida. And this can come back to bite these taxpayers on their audit if they've incurred a significant amount of non-tax expenses. The other common misconception is that auditors are going to automatically draw reasonable conclusions based on the taxpayer's specific facts and circumstances, and that's simply just not the case. Auditors in Florida, compared to other states, they're typically very strict with the documentation they're requesting, and sometimes a verbal or even written explanation is not going to be enough to completely remove an item that's being assessed. We see this a lot with real property leases, and this can be pretty detrimental depending on how much you're paying per month on a real property lease in Florida. For example, if you're paying like $85,000 a month and $5,000 of that is sales tax, that's just 1 month of a three-year audit period. That could lead to an audit assessment that is well over $100,000 just on leases of real property. And although you might be paying sales tax, if you don't have the documentation or backup to prove it, even if you have a reasonable explanation, the auditor is not necessarily going to remove the assessment just based on that explanation alone. And if you're leasing more than one property in Florida and you have these issues with all of your properties, this can really lead to a significantly large audit assessment. And you're essentially paying tax that you've already paid before, you just couldn't prove it.
For companies doing business in Florida, what should they take from this to be prepared for the day that the audit notice comes in through the door?
Whoever's responsible at your company for managing the sales tax obligations, make sure you're always maintaining adequate documentation for all your sales purchases and leases. If you don't have it right now, you should work to get that on hand because an audit notice can literally come in at any moment in time. You want to focus on your largest areas of exposure first. You might need to make sure that you have exemption certificates or other sufficient explanations that are supported by Florida sales tax law for why you may not be charging sales tax or paying sales tax on a certain product or service. You want to make sure to maintain this documentation for at least 3 years, which is Florida's statute of limitations, so that you're always covered at all times under an audit. Because that notice can come in the door at any given moment, if you're in charge of your company's sales tax obligations, you don't want to be the one to have to explain to your supervisors why a company is going to have to pay a large sales tax assessment, especially if that reason is simply because adequate documentation wasn't being maintained. We've come across a lot of clients and other taxpayers that focus heavily on income taxes but use sales tax as an afterthought. And having a mindset like that is only going to lead to issues later down the road that could have easily been avoided. So we really want everyone who's listening to this to just truly understand that sales tax obligations can be effectively managed if enough time and effort is put into them. And by not putting the time and effort into sales tax obligations, especially in the state of Florida, you could really get hit with a large assessment that you were not expecting if you get selected for an audit. And that can happen at any time. So if you have any concerns, you want to make sure you get those straightened out. And you have experts here at Altus who can help you with that process.
What a perfect way to end this podcast interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive interview with TJ Shitekwe, a senior consultant at Altus Group, who was kind enough to share his insights on sales and use tax trends happening in the state of Florida.